Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. Today is Wednesday, March 5th, 2014. I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, and today we're going to talk about food. We're going to talk about growing food, making food, and all the things that are wrong with the system today and what we can do instead. Today, this is a show about the way food should be and what people should be doing. And I'm actually so excited to introduce my guest today. Her name is Bethany Micarelli, and she's a young woman who decided that she wanted to start her very own organic goat and dairy fromagerie. And a fromagerie is a French word for a place that makes cheese. With a dream of moving our society into the realms of sustainable living and organic farming, where animals are treated with kindness, love, and generosity, Bethany decided that big changes began with individual actions. And so she bought some goats, and she created a crowdfunding campaign to raise the $22,000 she needs to make her dream come true. And I just so admire one person, one woman, deciding that she's going to do something differently in the world, that I asked her to come be on the show and talk about that. And if you're interested in making a donation to her crowdfunding campaign, and I'll just explain what crowdfunding is in case any of you don't know what it is. Excuse me. Crowdfunding is where somebody puts together a project and people, a crowd of people, fund it instead of somebody going to a bank or to venture capitalists, and that you can make a donation of, you can pledge $10, $25, or $100 or more. And if she gets her $22,000, then your pledge, you pay your pledge. And she gives you something in exchange for that. And then she has her money and the support of all these people who love and care about what it is that she's doing. So, hi, Bethany.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for being on the show. So, Bethany, just start out. I know you're a young person in comparison to me. I'm not going to ask you your age, but I know you're earlier in life than I am. And so at a young age, you're like a different generation than I am, a younger generation than I am, and maybe a lot of our listeners. But it's good to see that people of your generation are really interested in these issues. So how is it that you are, number one, even interested in organic farming? And number two, why goats?
Well, it's honestly been a little bit of an evolution because I was born and raised in Montana, but that doesn't mean that I was born and raised on a farm. We lived in a city, and so that was my life. It wasn't country living. And I actually really wanted to get out of Montana and get to the city, and just I just loved that lifestyle, that urban lifestyle. And I started down a career path in medicine, and so it was kind of it wasn't in line with organic farming. And, you know, you get plunged into science, and it's so bright, and, you know, the idea of GMO foods, and it all seems really exciting. And then it's kind of been a snowball of you start reading things, because I think everybody should be inquisitive and inform themselves on the matters that are going on in the world. And I just started reading, and I started watching documentaries and stuff, and I started doing my own, like, research, and for my own knowledge, going to see, you know, where our food comes from. Like, you know, what is this all about, like, documentaries, like Food Inc. and books like Omnivore's Dilemma. And when I started reading those things, it kind of started to change the way I thought. And the more I changed the way I thought, the more I wanted to kind of get in there and get involved. And I think it's also about you find what makes you happy and you try to align that with your purpose. And for me, I've always really cared about animals. Like, it's always, since I was a very little girl, I've always volunteered at animal shelters and rescue organizations. And for me, it's always been kind of something in the back of my mind of, you know, how do I do this on a larger scale? And also, you know, really caring about people and caring about, you know, health and caring about the environment and our planet and leaving something for future generations. And so that's kind of all in the back of my mind, too. And I ended up moving to Seattle, and I just for some reason, I decided I wanted to get goats. And I came across this woman. Her name is Annette Cottrell, and I ended up getting goats from her. And she kind of became my goat mentor, and she's kind of helped me along the way of, you know, realizing my dream and how to raise my goats. And the more I started to get into this, I realized I really loved it. And then one day it just kind of clicked, you know, your food chain and the environment and those things being, you can't separate them, because the way we grow our food is directly involved in the way we care for the planet. And I just realized I could get in there on a larger scale, and I could affect change in a large way, because the way animals are treated in an industrialized system, that's why so many people are, I think, turning vegan, and because they're so kind of revolted by the way that we've, like, taken animals and turned them into a commodity, the way we run them for our own purpose. And so I realized I could get in there and change that, and I could change, hopefully, like, the effect on the environment, and, you know, give people a great product that they can really be proud of when they buy, and hopefully, you know, become sort of something that other people can look at and say it can be done. You don't have to mistreat animals. You don't have to treat them like a commodity. You don't have to pollute the earth to stock dairy on your shelf.
That's exactly right. And one of the things that I really like about what you're doing food is a very local thing. And I live in Florida right now, but I used to live in Northern California around San Francisco, where there's a lot of local food, and there's a lot of small farmers, and there's a lot of people that are doing very much what you're interested in doing. And it is an individual thing. It's someone deciding, I want to have a small farm instead of having all of our food come from agribusiness. And it's just, for me, it's such a beautiful thing to have a person growing the plants or raising the animals and having our food come from that kind of personal attention. And so just bravo to you for doing this. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on is because to show that one person, even one young person, can do this and have a dream. And if you can do it, other people can do it too. We don't have to just be sitting around and saying, well, we need to change the larger the larger structure, although that needs to be changed too. But we can, each one of us, be making those choices to say, I'm going to start a little business that does something different, just like you're doing. Anybody could do this. Anybody can do it. And it's just so wonderful.
Yeah, and as you mentioned in the outset, you know, I am part of a new generation, and I think I'm also part of a new generation of farmers. And I think that comes with challenges, because a lot of us don't necessarily have a background in farming, but it also opens up this kind of possibility. You don't have the limits that some people are more likely to have. And I think we're all kind of, we're doing something that's not traditional, but we're trying to get back to the very basics of tradition in farming and being at one with the ecosystem, instead of constantly trying to fight that.
Right. And my mind is just, I'm having all these thoughts about all the ways that that's different. And the one that is coming up first is producing, like living within the production of nature, that goats produce a certain amount of milk. And if there's a certain population that you need to give goat milk to or goat cheese, then in order to satisfy that, you would have more goats or people would have less milk, that there would be a balance, that you know, like, what is your population that you're serving, instead of doing things like having toxic chemicals and hormones and things being given to the animals so that they produce more. It's just a whole different way of thinking about it, just completely, completely different. I know we're coming up on the break in a few seconds, and so I'm not going to start a new sentence here. But when we come back, we're going to continue to talk with Bethany, and she's going to tell us some things about that she's learned about how animals are produced and the whole system of giving us animal products. And then we'll talk about how she's going to do that differently. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest is Bethany Micarelli, who's going to start her own dairy and fromagerie. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Bethany Milcarelli, who is starting her very own organic goat dairy and fromagerie. Well, she'll be making cheese. And you can contribute to her crowdfunding project if you'd like. Go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and scroll down the page till you get to the description of this show. And the link to her crowdfunding project is right there at the end of the description. And you can pledge $10 or $25 or $100 or more. And Bethany, so what do they get? Tell us a little bit more about the crowdfunding project and how it works, because they get something if they pledge.
Yeah. And just for the record, too, there's no, like, set amount. Like, people can go on and donate a dollar if they want to, or $5. It's totally up to them. But so the premise of this site, and it's called Derelicious.com, and also, there's a short link if people want to go to it. It's dareme.co/NQ, and that will take them right to my page. And so if I raise this money, it's on the premise that, you know, you'll do something kind of funny in exchange, like, you know, people are daring you to do something. So I'm going to dress up like Little Bo Peep, and we remade the song, I Know What Boys Like, and we called it I Know What Ghosts Like. And so the goats are going to be singing it with me, and it's just going to be a fun little music video. And there's also some little, you know, if people donate certain amounts, there's cute little things that they get, like some T-shirts and like a copy of the song off iTunes. So fun little things like that.
Yeah, but I think that'll be cool. Okay, so tell us about some of the things that you learned that you didn't like about food production in the world today that inspired you to take a different path.
Well, I think, you know, specifically for dairy, because that's what I'm trying to do, and I think a lot of people, they probably drink more cow milk, so we can relate a little bit more to that, but in our industrialized system, you know, cows are, of course, they're bred like crazy, because you have to breed an animal to get milk, and the amount of milk that they require, oftentimes they're given, you know, hormones to increase that production, and of course, when they have the baby, the calf, they can't just be taking all the milk. So most often they're taken away right away. Sometimes if they're a male, they're just discarded. Sometimes they'll just throw them in the trash. You hear those horrific stories. If they're a female, sometimes they'll let them stay with the mom for maybe about 3 days before they're taken away. So there's no bonding. The whole idea is horrific, but specifically for the calf, it's extremely unhealthy. If she's not getting milk, you think about, like, a human baby. They need milk for a certain amount of time.
Right.
And so we've just pushed these animals. And most often, you know, they'll only keep them around for about 4 years, and then they'll take them off to slaughter because they're not producing enough milk for them. So it's just horrific. And it's something that, you know, as an animal lover, that's part of the reason I was vegan for a long time, is because I didn't want to be part of this system. But I also see another side of it. You know, you think of these healthy and French countrysides, and the farmer is out there with his animals and he lives with them, and it's kind of a symbiotic relationship.
Right.
And what I wanted to do is to create a dairy that's based not around a product, but about the animals, and to see them truly as living creatures, not as a commodity, and to give them not just like the best life, but just to have a whole system that's built around their best interest. And so that's, you know, that's always changing. You're always learning. You're always growing. And, you know, like, obviously you do have to breed, but I think there's a way to do that responsibly. Like, I don't take the babies away. They get as much milk as they want for as long as they want. You know, they're not pushed. I don't give my goats chemicals or hormones of any kind, but even when it comes to milk production, they produce what their body wants to produce, and that's good enough for me. And I think if you treat them with, like I say in my video online, if you treat them with love and respect, you know, they're going to give you a really great product, and I think you can have a great relationship.
I think so, too. So I just want to ask you some questions about milk production, because I don't have your experience with animals. So do goats or cows produce more milk than the calves need?
It kind of, yes and no. Like, for me, I let them have, I don't take any milk for a couple months. They just get whatever they want. And by that time, they're actually already eating hay. And so you can start taking a little bit of milk, but I still don't take all of it. Some people have different views on that. And, I mean, you can still be an organic farmer and have a little bit different views on that. But for me, I guess I just, I guess it's the idea of, like, not doing harm to them. So let them have.
No, I totally understand.
You know. But, yeah, and so after that, you can start taking the milk. And then, you know, sometimes they'll produce, you don't have to breed them every year, especially if you have good milking lines. Sometimes they'll, like, some goats will go up to 3 years, and you don't have to breed them again to have milk. Their milk production might not be as high.
They continue to produce milk even if they're not feeding a newborn.
Yep, as long as their body has enough nutrition to keep up with the demands, obviously, of creating milk. But yeah, you don't need to constantly breed them. And even in my breeding program, I don't breed my goats every year. I'll give them a year off because I think it's too hard on their body. And also I'll let them dry up before they get bred again. Because sometimes people will just, you know, they'll breed them, they'll milk them all the way up until they have to, like they'll be bred again. And then they'll milk them all the way up until they have to stop, which is like, you know, maybe 3 weeks before they give birth. And I just think that's so hard on their body. And so that's something that I don't want to do at all. It's, like I said, it's totally in service of the goat and making sure that it's not a strain on them.
This is just so different. Your viewpoint is so different, so in alignment with mine, but so different from what it is in the world. And I know that we have, we're so accustomed to buying food in supermarkets or natural food stores, and like going to a farmer's market is one step closer to where it's being produced. But when you've been born and raised into a system where your food comes out of packages off of shelves in a store, I think a lot of times people don't even think about where their food actually comes from and how it's produced or what it's even made of. And you're giving us a good picture of what are some of the things that we should be looking at and to be aware of. You know, for most people, milk comes in a carton, and that's as far as they think. So this is just so wonderful that you're thinking way, way, way beyond that. When we come back, we'll talk more about good things that can be done to raise animals. My guest today is Bethany Micarelli, who is about to start her own organic goat dairy and fromagerie, and she's raising money through her crowdfunding project. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Bethany Micarelli, who is starting her very own organic goat dairy and fromagerie. She's financing it through a crowdfunding project. And Bethany, give us the URL for your project again.
It's dareme.co/NQ.
NQ.
Yep.
Okay, good. So now tell us more about your basic philosophy. I know on the website that you gave three basic principles that your farm will be based on.
Yeah, so the first one was just that idea of letting nature lead us and living with the ecosystem. And I think in modern farming, we've just gotten so away from that. We're constantly, you know, we're fighting pests. We're constantly, you know, giving our animals chemical wormers. And there's a way to do that with nature. There's, like, my goats have, it's not just their diet, which I mentioned mimics what it would in nature, which is grass and forage-based versus grain. But, you know, their wormers, everything is herbal. And so it's a way to treat them with nature so we're not creating more superbugs and creating resistant worms and things of that nature that you often find in industrialized farming. And then just the way they live, you know, because, you know, like I mentioned, you do have a breeding program, and so that can create moral dilemmas, just how do the offspring live, how do the parents live. So these animals are, they're part of our family. They all have names. We love them all. I spend time with them all. And it's based around their well-being. And then
you know,
also...
if I could just interject something here. Mm-hmm. I do have a small amount of experience raising animals for food when I had chickens, and I loved raising my chickens. They got taken away by the police because it's illegal actually where I live to keep chickens. And, so I don't have them anymore. But you know, I would go out every day and I would feed them, and I would bring their little chicken scratch food, but I'd also pick little grasses and feed them out of my hand. And, you know, they knew me and I knew them. And when they first started, when they laid their first egg, I was so excited. And I was so excited to eat the egg, and eating the egg from a chicken that produced it for me was so different than going to the grocery store and buying it in a styrofoam plastic container. And I knew exactly what went into that egg because I was feeding them the food myself. And I knew that there was nothing toxic there, and I knew that it was my organic grass and it was my organic feed. And but it also had that personal element of actually having the relationship with the chicken. And I can't even describe how different this is than having kind of this anonymous food that is in the supermarket, of really knowing the animals, really, you know, being able to see the plants and all these things. And so what you're doing is very similar to that. I understand your relationship with them.
Yeah, it's a very different relationship. Like I keep mentioning this, but it's just, they're so often people don't see them as animals, they're a commodity. Even right. Like the way
say
we
it
buy
all
meat.
You want. Say it all you want, because they are animals, they're living beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even like just the way we go by meat, like you mentioned before the break, we're so disconnected. We go by this scene in a, you know, a cellophane wrapped package, and we have no idea. And to me, like often, it's not what they say on packages, it's what they don't say. And
yes.
I think when people buy products, they should always be asking themselves, how did this animal live? How did this animal eat? How was this animal slaughtered, even if people choose to eat meat? Because I think that's, it's really important, because I know that people want to be disconnected, but at the same time, if you're not, like I'm a vegetarian, but if you're not a vegetarian and you're going to eat meat, I think you should know about this animal that you're going to eat, because it gave its life so that you could eat it. And I think we really want to be like disconnected from that, because I think if more people thought about it, more people probably would be vegetarian. But I just think those are really important questions. And I love the idea of an agrarian society, but I also don't know how practical that is. Like I mentioned I'm from Montana, and it's funny because when I went back last Christmas, I went to the grocery store to just grab a few things. And as I'm going through this supermarket, and it was like a natural supermarket, they didn't have very much, like they didn't have very many products, and it was really expensive because it's Montana, and you know, I guess I had to travel further. And their farmers markets, like I'm in Seattle, so we have farmer markets all year long, but they don't there. And I think the need to create a really great product that you can get out to people, I think is really helpful. And I think there's a lot of potential to kind of step up and do this in ways that aren't dependent on oil and aren't adding CO2 emissions. I think there's a lot of clever ways that we can, you know, ship products to other states without it being a burden on our environment.
Good. I think there are all kinds of possibilities. In fact, there's so many technologies, and I use that word broadly. I don't mean it to be industrial technologies, but even like organic farming is a technology. And there's so many technologies that can be used that are based in nature that already exist. We're just not even using them. And I really see that that's the shift that we need to go to, is that we need to see how can we do things that are in alignment and in harmony with the natural environment, and how can we live, I say, how can we live like a tree? But it's not about being a tree. It's about being as natural as a tree is. You know, that if you look at a tree, it's like this wonderful natural factory where everything's in order and everything does its part, and it produces a product of oxygen. And we could be doing that too. And we've just forgotten how to do it. So this is so exciting to me. It's just so exciting to me that you're doing this and that you're thinking in this way. Let's see, what else can we talk about? We only have a few seconds before we need to go to the break. Why don't you give your URL again and a few words about your program?
Okay. It's dareme.co/NQ. And that will take you right to my crowdfunding page. And it has an introductory video, and it kind of has a long description of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it and, you know, why I'm using crowdfunding. And then just information on how to donate if you want to, or just share the link if you want to, because that's great too.
Yes. Yeah, and I hope that some of you will donate because this is just such a good thing to do. Okay, we're going to go to break. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Bethany Micarelli. And we'll be right back and talk more about goats. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Bethany Micarelli, who's about to start her very own organic goat and dairy for a month. I can't talk. Organic goat dairy and fromagerie. And she has a crowdfunding project to raise money for that. Go ahead and give your URL again. I know I keep giving it, but I want to make sure people get it.
No, it's okay. It's dareme.co/NQ.
Good. So I have a couple questions about goat milk. So first of all, one of the things I know about goat milk is that it actually contains less sugar than cow milk. And that was something that was really interesting to me because a lot of people, like diabetics, can't drink milk because of the sugar content. But goat milk and therefore goat cheese has less sugar in it. But what I want to ask you about is about the difference between pasteurized milk and raw milk.
Do you want me to just kind of espouse
yeah.
on it?
Talk about
okay.
that, yeah.
Well, so oftentimes when we go buy milk, it's ultra-pasteurized. So there's kind of flash pasteurizing, and then there's pasteurizing, and there's ultra-pasteurizing. And so what it is you're taking raw milk, and raw milk is full of lots of bacteria, and all these bacteria are very beneficial. The FDA gets worried that it can get contaminated because also we can introduce bad bacteria into the milk through unsanitary practices. So they require that it be pasteurized. And as we pasteurize and increase that temperature all the way up to ultra-pasteurizing, we're basically killing the milk more and more and more. And so you're left with a product that has no bacteria in it whatsoever and has no health benefit whatsoever.
You know, I don't know if you know this. Yeah, that is how it goes. Many years ago, even at the turn of the century, the turn of the last century, not this one. I was born in the 1900s, so the turn of the century is 1900. way back in 100 years ago, before we had so much pasteurization, milk used to be considered to be a health food, and the doctors would actually give people raw milk to cure them of whatever ailed them because it was so full of nutrition and aliveness, and that's not what our milk is today. It's just when you buy milk in a carton, that's not what it is. Even when you buy it in a bottle, that's not what it is. So it's important to have local producers who are producing raw milk. Are you going to be producing raw milk?
Yes, I will.
I was just assuming that with everything else.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, long before I ever got into this, I have a Boston Terrier, and she kind of had stomach issues. And it's so funny because my vet and the pet store, they say, oh, go get raw goat milk, because they sell, like, a grade B raw goat milk in most pet stores, and because it has all this bacteria in it. And, of course, it helped her. But it's just this funny idea that, oh, yeah, here's this product that's really good for you and helps with digestion, but, you know, people can't have it.
People can't have it.
Super
deadly,
you know, to people.
Here they sell it at our natural food store, but it says this is for pets. They can't sell it for humans. Mm-hmm. There's a label on it that says, here's some raw milk for your pets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know it's thankfully, it's legal in the state of Washington, but there's a lot of states where selling and consuming raw milk is still punishable by jail time, mm-hmm. even, because it's they feel that it's so harmful. And it's goat milk is not as much of a big deal, but a lot of cow milk is homogenized, too. Goat milk is, I guess, what you call naturally homogenized, because the reason they homogenize cow milk is, back when my grandmother was buying milk, there used to be a cream top, is what they would call it, and it was because right. the fat would separate. And so now, I don't know if people just don't want to be bothered with that, or, you know, for some people, it maybe is, they might, the idea might gross them out or something, but they homogenize it, which is
explain what homogenization is.
Yeah, what they do is they go in and they manually make these fat globules smaller so that it doesn't mm-hmm. separate. But mm-hmm. it also confuses your body, because
exactly.
now you've got this product that is not natural, and it actually can increase cholesterol levels because your body doesn't know what to do with it. And raw milk, well, that's not a problem if you can get raw milk, but goat milk, the fat globules are actually naturally smaller. So you can say that it's almost naturally homogenized, so it doesn't separate like cow milk does. So that's another reason that it's healthier for you as well.
I love goat milk. I really do. At first I thought, what is this going to taste like? But once I tasted it, raw goat milk, like fresh, because here we have a woman who has a goat farm. And if you can get her at the farmer's market at exactly the right time of year, you can get, and she also makes cheese, but you can get raw goat milk. And so I have had the kind of raw goat milk that you're talking about producing, although I don't know, I mean, you probably have, I think, a much more personal relationship with your goats than maybe she does. I don't know. But it tastes so different. It tastes so good. And it feels so good in my body because it's actually a living food. And that's what we should be eating. That's what we should be eating all the time. And that, again, we get back to things like regulations, as we said earlier, that it's illegal in some places to sell raw milk. And we just should not be having those kinds of regulations at all. It should be always legal to do the best thing for health and the best thing for the environment and the thing that gives us most aliveness and is the best thing for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I definitely encourage people, if raw milk is legal in your area, to go find some raw goat milk. It has essential fatty acids. It's higher in vitamin B6. It's, like you mentioned, because there's less sugar. People who suffer from lactose intolerance can usually have goat milk. And when the goats are fed a good diet, goat milk is actually sweeter than cow milk. And people always, I hear people say, oh, goat milk has that goatiness. And it's like, no, that's probably because, you know, something
it's
happened
really
in the process. Yeah, because goat milk actually should taste less kind of earthy than cow milk does. It's better all the way around.
I think so too. Once I started drinking goat milk, it didn't matter to me if I drank cow milk anymore. It was just, I mean, I can't even remember the last time I drank cow milk, and I used to drink it all the time. But it just, I have recently found that my body actually does not like dairy. And that I've been eating it and drinking it. It's going to be interesting to see if goat actually turns out to be okay. I haven't tried it since I stopped eliminating dairy altogether. But I think it's a very different thing than cow milk. I think our bodies relate to it in a different way. Well, we only have a few minutes left of the show. So I just want to ask you if there's anything that you want to say that you haven't said yet.
I guess I just, if nothing else, if people hear this, the one takeaway would be next time you go to the grocery store, just really, really know what you're picking up. Pay attention to the brands and do some of your own investigating, and just to be inquisitive about where your food comes from. And, of course, shop local as much as you absolutely can, and know your farmers and know their processes, and just get involved more in your food. That would be my only advice.
Well, I certainly agree with that. I used to live in, when I lived, I was born and raised in Northern California, just outside of San Francisco. And I lived for 12 years out in the country next, like about an hour north of San Francisco, in an area known as West Marin, which is kind of between suburbia and the ocean, in a very rural area where we had a lot of small farms. And I actually got most of my food from community-supported agriculture, and which is when you have a contract with the farmer that the farmer gives, raises the food and then gives you food every week. And so you pay for it in advance, but you buy shares, and then you get this delivery every week. And it was the most wonderful thing. That I never knew what I was going to get. Sometimes I got eggs, sometimes I didn't. But there was all kinds of vegetables, and a lot of my friends and neighbors were doing the same thing. And so it was like, this week we all got kale. Now what are we going to do with it? You know? And it was an entirely different, you know, it was all based on the seasons and the place, and not what the recipe says. It was just, here's the food. Now we're going to prepare this luscious food in a way that's really good for all of us. Thanks so much, Bethany, for being on the show. I really enjoyed
Thank
this.
You.
And I look forward to, I hope you'll keep in touch with me and let me know what happens. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. We have 45 more seconds.
Oh, okay.
I read the clock wrong. Okay, so to go on with my story about what goes on, what I was doing with community-supported agriculture, it's a whole different way of thinking about this, and this is also having to do with the farmers market, is that you start meeting your local farmers. And with the community supported agriculture, I could go and even work on the farm if I wanted to. I could help with the harvest. I often helped with the distribution, and that we would just get these big baskets of food, and then we'd have to separate them out into the other little baskets. But it so puts you in touch with what's happening. There's the music. Thank you again, Bethany.
Thank you so much.
I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and it's Toxic Free Talk Radio.